Hello, Boston. Good morning. This is so awesome to see that this is a, we filled this place. Unfortunately, we had to turn some people away, but this room is filled with readers and this incredible literary community that we have here in Boston. My name is Linda Henry. I proudly serve as the CEO of Boston Globe Media, your local media organization that brings you the Boston Globe, Boston.com, Stat News, and we're also a proud partner with Harvard Bookstore. And so this weekend is just means so much to us because we are celebrating the written word, we're celebrating storytelling, and we're celebrating this incredible community that we have here in Boston. I want to start by thanking Debbie Porter. Debbie is around here somewhere, and she has been the, she's in the back, and she has been the engine behind the Boston Book Festival for so many years. Thank you. This takes, and as that video is showing, this takes so much to produce, and there is nothing but love and passion for written word that drives this. So thank you, Debbie. Thank you to your incredible Boston Book Festival team. This is such a treat. This is why we live in cities, is because we have these great cultural moments that can bring us together. And today, we have an incredible, incredible speaker that I'm so excited to welcome. Are there any half-bloods here in the audience? I'm looking in the bow. All right. I saw some of the t-shirts coming in, and I knew that we were in the right place. My daughter, Sienna, is going to introduce our incredible author, who is a local here in Boston and just one of the great treasures here. Here you go, Sienna.
Today, my family and I are thrilled to bring you today's special feature as we get to hear from one of my favorite authors, Rick Riordan, who brought us the beloved characters Percy Jackson and so many others to life. Mr. Riordan has brought along a series of mythical and action-packed adventures, giving us surprises, inspiration, and life lessons through Percy's eyes. I have personally devoured all of Rick's books, and I'm so excited to see him and hear from him today and understand how his magic works. So thank you for being a part of this literary community in Boston, and let's give a big welcome to Rick.
Sienna, great.
Hey. Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you. That's amazing. Okay, wait, let's see. Clicker on the table, he says. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, good. Have to have my clicker. Is there a video? I think we have a video to start. We did this on the tour, so I have to start with this because it's really kind of fun.
I'm Kirk Koalamos.
You need to know how to survive any kind of condition.
And I'll show you how to take on...
We're heading into Central Park.
Somewhere under Los Angeles.
Garden of the Hesperides.
Outlive or outrun...
Don't stop to count the heads.
The worst the gods can throw at you.
You're going to want to make sure you pack something gross to eat. MREs.
Blech.
Astronaut food. But if you run into the Nemean lion, you're going to be very glad you had it. Spray bottle for making rainbows.
Goddess of the rainbow, please accept my offering. Are you kidding me? Oh, Iris.
Now, you normally wouldn't see crocodiles near Montauk.
You would not believe the amount of mist floating around here.
Oh, that was a hellhound. I hate hellhounds.
Mirror, very important if you're fighting Medusa.
Yes.
Nectar, drink responsibly. Giant dog treats. But remember, it's Cerberus, so...
Well, stuck in Tartarus. It's hot as Hades down here.
I'm once again taking on the biggest jungle of them all, New York City.
Nymph, satyr, centaur. That's definitely a fury.
We'll learn specialized tracking skills, how to survive the smelliest sewers,
and why I've got this baby chicken.
Woo.
Well, if you haven't read The Chalice of the Gods yet, you won't know about the baby chicken, but believe me, it's important. You'll get the word there. So, I am so glad to be here to do an event in Boston, where I live. Wonderful place. What a beautiful church. I'm always a little nervous about talking about Greek gods in a church. I'm never really sure which divine power might strike me down, but we will hope for the best. One of the reasons that I wrote the new Percy Jackson book for the first time in, 18 years since I started The Lightning Thief, is because of these three, the trio, back together again, and these are, of course, the actors who will be playing Annabeth, Percy, and Grover in the new Disney Plus TV series, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I love these kids. I'll talk more about that in a second, but a funny thing happened on the way to the TV show. Back in 2019, my wife and I heard that Fox, who made the movies, had been bought by Disney, who has always published my books. And we thought to ourselves, there might be an opportunity here. So we had to make a hard choice. Do we go back to Hollywood and try again? It might be a good idea to give them some incentive for making the show. And I said, well, you guys know that you also publish my books, right? Honestly, some of them did not. I was having lunch with a lovely, lovely studio executive who asked, who publishes you? And I'm like, you do? But we got that sorted out. And I said, if you guys will let us do a TV show, I might be willing to do something I haven't done since The Lightning Thief. Go back and make a Percy, Annabeth, and Grover story from Percy's point of view for the first time since 2005. I think the fans might like that. And thank you. And they would like to go back in Percy's point of view to Camp Half-Blood. Now, you may be wondering why go back, and you may also be wondering, Rick, did you ever really leave? Because it's true, we'd had the Heroes of Olympus series, and I've done the Trials of Apollo, I've done lots of spin-off books. I know by this time, Camp Half-Blood should have the McDonald's sign that says billions and billions served. Fair. However, it's a little bit different when it's coming from Percy's point of view. So I sketched out three ideas, and I showed them to my editor. She said, oh, this would be a lot of fun to write these. Then it turned out we didn't need them. The studio said, no, we don't need that. We'll do the TV show anyway. And that was great, but then I had these three ideas. And I just kind of sat with them. And after a while, we started talking about whether or not it would be fun to do them anyway. So Percy, you know, what's bigger than saving the world? What great challenge will he face? Getting into college, naturally. Percy Jackson, being Percy Jackson, finds out that not only does he have to keep his grades up and take standardized testing and apply for college, he also needs three recommendation letters from the gods. Which means, you guessed it, he's got to do things, quest for the gods. And the first of those is The Chalice of the Gods, which has just come out. So, who can you expect to see in The Chalice of the Gods? Well, it's about this guy, there's that guy, Ganymede, the chalice bearer of the gods. Now, Ganymede has kind of a tragic backstory. He was abducted by Zeus when he was just a teenager because he was just so much of a himbo, right? He looks, you know. They just kind of took him up to Olympus, and Zeus said, yeah, you're my dude now, and we're going to make you a god, and you get to serve drinks forever. Yay. So that's his job. The thing about Ganymede's cup, however, the chalice of the gods, is if you're a god and you drink from it, it just tastes good. If you are a mortal and you drink from it, you immediately become a god. So it's not the kind of thing you want to lose, which is exactly what happens. Ganymede says, oh, I don't know who took it. They're trying to mess with me. They're trying to make me look bad in front of Zeus. If he finds out, he will zap me into a million pieces. How do I get this back? And then he thinks, oh, right, Percy Jackson's a thing. So he goes down and asks Percy Jackson for help in exchange for a recommendation letter. Who could have stolen it? Well, he has two suspects. The first one is this person, Hebe, the goddess of youth. And I know what you're thinking. If she's the goddess of youth, why does she have my grandmother's hairdo? And why is there a chicken? See my note earlier about the chicken. That'll come back. But if it's not her, then perhaps it was another former chalice bearer, the goddess Iris, who you may remember as the goddess of the messengers, the one who sends the messages between demigods. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, does Iris see my future in her crystal ball? Is it organic and locally sourced? And if she helps me, will I have to pay for it? Oh, yes, you will. She accepts Venmo and also quests. So you can kind of guess how that's going to go. If it's not one of those goddesses, who could have stolen the chalice? Maybe it's some sort of water god who has it in for Poseidon. That is Percy's dad. Like, for instance, I don't know, maybe the river god Ellison. You can tell from his expression, he's a really happy guy. He does have a magnificent man bun, however, so there's that. Ellison's river was known in ancient times as being the cleanest water in the world. All of the monsters would go there to take a bath. He didn't like that very much. It's also a great place to clean magic items. He doesn't like that very much either. It messes with his yoga teaching schedule on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So if Percy has to deal with him, that could be a problem. And of course, there will also be assorted obstacles along the way. That's right, folks. After 15 books of Greek mythology, I'm in the deep cuts. We've done the Gorgons, we've done the Furies. Can I tell you about my chickens? And possibly the snakes, yes. It will again make more sense when you read the book, but lots of chickens and snakes. Unfortunately, there's also Zeus, who's sort of looming behind this entire endeavor and may or may not know more than he's letting on. So if things go wrong, you can always look forward to getting lightning bolted by this guy. Thankfully, he has friends in his corner in the Chalice of the Gods. You will also see everybody's favorite mom, Sally Jackson. We will get to see Grover Underwood again, our favorite satyr. Oh, I love Grover. This is kind of hard for Grover because Percy and Annabeth are working to get into college. They want to go to New Rome University in the San Francisco Bay Area. Grover's not going, though. That means his friends are leaving him behind, and he's got to help them, but at the same time, that's really hard. So there's a lot of crying going on about that. And of course, Poseidon is here too, helping in his own incredibly unhelpful way. But having told you a little bit about the Chalice of the Gods that just came out, and it's been so fun to hear from everybody, I actually just talked to Aryan Samadri, who plays Grover in the TV show, a longtime fan. He read the book and he said, I felt like I was in fifth grade again. It's like, oh, I love that. But there's also a lot of other great stories that I wanted to share with you from Rick Riordan Presents. And if you're not familiar with what this is an imprint that I help run at Disney Books. Because for a long time, a lot of you would ask me questions because you guys are smart. And you figured out, okay, you've done Greek, you've done Roman, you've done Norse mythology, you've done Egyptian mythology. And you would ask Rick, what about Chinese mythology? What about Aztec mythology or the West African mythologies, what about those? And I felt a little uncomfortable because although those stories are fantastic, I'm not an expert. I didn't grow up with them the way I grew up with Greek and Roman and Norse and even Egyptian. I know those like very well. And so I started talking to my editor and saying, surely there are other great authors out there that are actually from these cultures and would like to tell the stories they grew up with in their way. Why not, instead of me trying to tell them, let's turn the spotlight on them. I'll just be a cheerleader, I'll be a promoter, I'll tell people how great these stories are, and we'll do it that way. And so that is Rick Riordan's Presents. It started only a few years ago, and there are always already millions and millions and millions of copies out there. The authors are incredible. Some of them that are coming up. Rosh Chokshi, you may know her if you read Aru Shah and the End of Time, which was our very first imprint book, which she did on Hindu mythology. Incredible job with that. She is back with The Spirit Glass. This is where Rosh explores the other side of her own heritage, which is Filipino. I didn't know anything about Filipino folklore and mythology, but this book makes me want to find out more. It is so, so good. So that's out now, if you'd like to check that out. Also, Shirwa Botang's Guide to Witchcraft and Mayhem by Rosie Brown. This is about vampire hunters in America, middle school vampire hunters. But when I say vampires, I'm not talking about those weak European vampires. These are Ghanaian vampires, West African vampires, and you do not mess with them. This is a great book. This is the second in the series, so if you like magic and mayhem and want to learn a little bit more about Ghanaian mythology, Rosie has you covered. Also, J.C. Cervantes. This comes out, it's out already, isn't it? Oh my gosh, I can't believe how time is flying. She writes about Aztec and Maya mythology. She has a whole series called the Storm Runner series, and this is the newest one, Dawn of the Jaguar, which is incredible also. Yoon-Ha Lee, Fox Snare. It is so hard to describe Yoon-Ha Lee's books because they are, the best I can do is this. Imagine Star Wars with Korean mythology. It's fox spirits in space. It is incredible. So the third one just came out. So if you haven't read these yet, it's a great time to pick them up. You have three adventures to look forward to. Also, a drop of venom. We started about 2 years ago. We started thinking that maybe the imprint should not only be middle grade books, which is what I do, but I was told that apparently some of you who have been reading me for a long time have had the audacity to grow up. And hard for me to believe, but apparently you all like reading young adult novels and adult novels, and okay, that's fine. So we decided let's spread out a little bit and let some of the young adult authors come into the imprint and tell their stories. This is one of the first, Sajni Patel. This is infused with Indian mythology, but it's a retelling of the Medusa myth from the point of view of Medusa. This is pretty dark, pretty serious. It tackles subjects like surviving abuse. There's a lot here. It's very heavy in some ways, but it's also an incredible adventure, and you are going to feel so much sympathy for Medusa when you read this. So that's coming out in January. Keep an eye out for it. Also, this is back to the middle grade camp. Stacy Lee, Winston Chu is about Chinese folklore, modern day San Francisco. The second one just came out, or it's coming out in February, I should say. It's incredible. You need to pick up the first one if you have not yet. Oh, and this. I just finished reading the manuscript for this 2 weeks ago. It Waits in the Forest by Sarah Das. This is another YA book. It kept me up at night. I'm not gonna lie. There's some pretty scary stuff in here. This is set on a make-believe Caribbean island where people start disappearing and bodies start turning up. And they're not sure, is this a serial killer or is it something even worse? And so if you like a little mystery and thriller with your magic and you like YA books, this is something I would definitely recommend. What else can I tell you about? I guess we should talk a little bit about TV and film. Should I give you an update on that? All right. So, Mythomagic is the name of the production company that Becky and I made when we decided to re-engage with Hollywood. Mythomagic, you get it, right? Yeah. So we made this company, we went out there, and we have been in the process of trying to get my books, as best we can, adapted into various film projects. Now, film is not my world, okay? It was like being dropped into another country and trying to learn the language and the culture, like, on the ground as I was going. But I enjoy a challenge, so that was kind of fun. The first thing that we did through Mythomagic was this. The Kane Chronicles, if you're not familiar with them, is my Egyptian mythology series. Carter and Sadie Kane are the main characters. Netflix approached us and said, we would love to make this into a feature film, live-action feature film. That was 4 years ago. Just to give you an idea how long things take in Hollywood. I mean, I thought writing books was slow. Woo, no, making TV shows and movies, that is way slower. Nevertheless, we are doing the best we can. We got one screenwriter to write a screenplay. It was pretty good, kind of needed some work. We decided, okay, let's get another screenwriter in here. They wrote a second copy, and then right before the Writers Guild of America went on strike, back in May, we turned in that manuscript. So I haven't talked to anybody at the studio since then, because as a WGA member, I can't. But I know they have the script, and we're waiting now to hear back from them. Fingers crossed, if the script is good, then we can move forward, and that's when you start getting a director, and then you can start thinking cast, and then you can start actually making the movie. So we have a long way to go, but it is in process. Keep your fingers crossed. Also, Daughter of the Deep. This is my standalone novel that I wrote during COVID. It's an homage to Jules Verne, based on 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Captain Nemo. And Anna Dakar, this young woman, finds out that she is a descendant of Prince Dakar, which is the actual name of Captain Nemo. And she has to find the wreck of the Nautilus and recover the technology before Nemo's enemies can. So sci-fi, my first sci-fi book, a lot of fun, and we are in the process now of developing it as a feature for Disney+. I have written the script along with a co-writer who's wonderful, Aditi Kapel. And again, we gave it to Disney+ right before the strike. So now we're just waiting to see how they like it. So fingers crossed, you'll see that as a feature film too. Oh, Finn McCool. I don't know how many of you know about Finn McCool. I didn't until I was an adult. This is the Irish, well, what do I call him? He's like the Irish superhero. He's like Robin Hood, except way cooler, with magic powers and giant hounds and all kinds of fun stuff. This was my first attempt to explore Irish mythology, which is my own ancestral heritage, but which I didn't know much about until recently. I decided to do a story called My Life as a Child Outlaw, which is about Finn McCool as a kid and how he grew up and became this amazing Irish hero. And that is part of The Cursed Carnival, which is a collection from all of our authors in the anthology. We are working with Element Pictures, which is a Dublin-based company now, to hopefully turn this into a live-action TV show. We shall see. I'll be writing the pilot script for that. And of course, this. I can't believe it's real. I really can't, after all of these years. Becky and I served as executive producers for the series, which means we were involved in everything. We have seen every draft of every script. We have been on board for all the casting. The casting, absolutely, I have seen it. I have approved it. I was there. I made the decisions. Did I make every decision, like what we're going to have for lunch and every? No, and that's impossible. I mean, there are so many people it takes to make a TV show. Every day on set, we had about 500 people running around doing their thing. you know, you just do what you can, and you're there, and I think you're going to be really pleased. 8 episodes in the season, it follows The Lightning Thief. The hope, of course, is that if it does well on Disney Plus, and you all turn in, and you tell your friends, and everybody's excited about it, then they're hoping to do a season 2, season 3, whatever. We'll see, though. I don't know. But maybe you're one of the few people that hasn't seen the trailer yet. I don't know. Maybe you're not like me and hasn't watched it 2,000 times. But here's a little glimpse of what you're going to get. I was scared of
dentists in the dark. My name is Percy Jackson. Am I a troubled kid? Yeah, you could say that. Bad grades, bullies, all the normal stuff. And then there's some stuff that's maybe not so normal.
There you are.
You saw something. Something that no one else could see. The stories that I have told you about Greek gods and half-bloods, they are real.
Mrs. Jackson, things have changed. This is all developing a lot faster than we anticipated.
Over, why is there half a goat in your pants?
So the important thing is not to panic.
Percy Jackson. We've been expecting you. The Master Bolt has been stolen. That is your quest.
Remember what I taught you.
You're gonna need to be brave now.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited. Yeah. I think you guys are going to be pleased. I really do. And I'm a tough critic when it comes to TV and film, as some of you may know. But I think this is going to be a great thing. And the actors, I have to say, they worked so hard on this. They're so amazing. I just have to hope that SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, is able to get the studios back to the table so they can negotiate a deal and end the strike so our actors can actually be at their own premiere. That would be nice. So let's hope that happens. And finally, on the subject of the film, the TV show, and all of that, if you are a completist, which means you have to have everything Percy Jackson, first of all, I love that for you. And secondly, you should know about these. They are putting out some new stuff, re-jacketed, recovered, new material. Camp Half-Blood Confidential's coming back as a movie TV tie-in. They're also doing a special edition of The Lightning Thief with the cover art and photos from the show inside. They are reissuing the graphic novel with a new cover. And there is also this. The Lightning Thief Deluxe Collector's Edition. I mean, it's got the slipcover, it's got the built-in, like, bookmark, it's got illustrations, it's got the V8 engine and the detailing. I don't know. This is pretty, pretty swanky. I cannot afford this, but if you can, go for it. And coming next fall, I did mention, as you might remember, that I had 3 ideas, right? For Percy Jackson's return, that I would have to have him get 3 recommendation letters. So it kind of seemed like it would be cruel not to just go with the guy until he gets into college. And so we're going to do the second of those adventures next fall, and that will be The Wrath of the Triple Goddess, coming out next fall. Who is the triple goddess, you might be wondering? It's our old friend Hecate, the goddess of witchcraft. So just in time for next Halloween, we got you covered. So that's a look at what's going on with me, but my favorite part is always hearing questions that have been collected from the audience, and I understand Liz Phipps-Soero is in the house. She is the Director of Library Services for Boston Public Schools and has collected some questions. Give Liz a hand, please. Hi, how are you?
Good to see you. I'm gonna grab a chair.
Yeah.
I'm gonna grab a chair.
Oh, it's getting serious now.
Okay. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Hi, everybody. Thank you for the introduction. I'm Liz Phipps-Soero, as you said, the Director of Libraries for Boston Public Schools, and I'm very proud to be here as the director, as Boston is investing in its school libraries for the first time in a generation and giving school libraries to kids that have never had school libraries. So yes, Boston Public Schools, thank you. And of course, this audience is an amazing testament to the power and importance of stories. And we have been listening and reading and watching and anticipating your stories for almost two decades. And so I have a few questions here from your readers. And so I'm gonna read them so I don't get them wrong.
Okay.
Your books include so many characters with different identities and experiences that might not be like yours. How do you work to represent a diverse cast of characters in your stories?
Yeah, it's something that I think about a lot. Mm. And in my mind, when I'm thinking about writing a story, I'm back in my middle school classroom, and I'm imagining my students. And over the course of 15 years, I taught just about every kind of kid you can imagine. I mean, from every kind of background, every kind of family, in Texas and in California, and did a lot of school visits. So my classroom was always, always diverse. And when I was a teacher, it was critical, if I was going to teach well, that I find a way to reach all of them and make sure that they feel safe in the classroom, valued in the classroom, and seen in the classroom. So that's kind of what I brought to the books. At first, I don't know how many of you know the origin story of Percy Jackson, but it was for my son, who had just found out that he was ADHD and dyslexic. And so right at the core of this whole Percy Jackson thing, Percy Jackson was a story about representation for my own son. And I was trying to tell him, look, I know this is tough having learning differences now, but it is not a disability so much as a sign of greatness, a sign of uniqueness. The way you think is special, and you need to embrace that. And so from that early core, as the books took off, I started to realize, oh, wow, there's a lot of kids. This is not just a bedtime story for my son anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kids reading these. I need to make sure that I'm letting them know, all the readers, that any of them, all of them can be heroes. They can join this world of demigods. Doesn't matter, you know, what you look like or where you're from or, you know, what you believe. Anyone can be a hero if you step up. Now, as to how, as carefully as possible, I mean, I guess is the honest answer. Some experiences I don't have. And the best I can tell you is that I know that I have blind spots. So I try to get help both from my wife, who's always my first reader, from my wonderful editor, from my agents. A lot of colleagues who will weigh in, I'll have them read. In the early days, I would actually have my students read the books.
Wonderful.
And they would give me advice. They had great, great advice. I'll give you an example, which is not really about representation, but the original name for the lightning thief was the Son of the Sea God. And one of my sixth grade students said, Mr. Riordan, if you call it that, you're giving it away. Like, oh, yeah. So that's why it's not called that. It's called the lightning thief. And, you know, sensitivity readers are often an amazing resource and have been really, really helpful for me to kind of make sure that I'm doing what I can. And, of course, I don't always get it right, but to do what I can to make sure I've done due diligence and tried to make everybody feel at home in the books.
That's wonderful. So. Thank you. And you brought up heroism, which takes us to our second question. The idea of heroism is a big theme in your books. And what does it mean to you to be a hero?
Being a hero, it's funny because in Greek, the word hero literally means demigod. It means you are part god. And it's often always about your ancestry, who your parents were, you know. Oh, my dad is Zeus, my dad's Poseidon, my dad's better than your dad, whatever. But really, heroism doesn't have anything to do with that. Because the thing is, all the villains in Greek mythology are also demigods. That just means you're powerful. That doesn't mean you're good. And so I think what a hero is basically somebody who steps up and does what needs to be done. And does the right thing, especially when it's hard. And in that definition, anybody can be a hero. The question is, when that moment comes, do you do the hard thing and not the easy thing?
That's great. Percy Jackson and Annabeth Chase are heroes, right? So who are some of your personal heroes? Who has stepped up and done right for you?
I have to give a shout out first to my wife, Becky. She really is my hero. She was, by the way, hoping to be here today, but she got the flu, so she sends her apologies anyway. She has always sort of given me kind of that touchstone, the moral compass that helps me to try to get things right and be sensitive to other people. And also my eighth grade teacher, who is no longer with us, but Mrs. Pabst, back in San Antonio, Texas. She is the one that first read something I wrote and said, "Rick, you know what? You ought to submit that to try to get it published." I did. It was rejected. Nevertheless, that was what started me on the road. I kept at it. And I don't think it's any surprise that I became a middle school teacher because of her. And I know a lot of you know this, it only takes that one teacher, right? And you always hope that you or your children have that teacher that really sparks the imagination and believes in them. And so, Mrs. Pabst.
That's wonderful. So, yeah, I'm like, all right, teachers and librarians, yes. That's wonderful. And I have this last question here for you. So your books have created a sense of community and inspired so many readers. What's a message you hope that we, as your readers, take away from your stories?
So much of it is grown bigger than me at this point. I mean, the community made itself. And I am always amazed when I look around the world and hear from, you know, demigods in Brazil and India and China. And, you know, they're everywhere. And they have embraced each other and formed a community around this idea of mythology and heroism and being exceptional. And also just being different. Being different is a superpower. That is what the series at its base is all about. So that's the main message, I guess. But also, share your love of reading. If you're a reader, find somebody and read with them. Parents read with kids, and kids read with each other. And it's so important that if you are a reader, you share that love, because that's where it all comes from.
And I want to thank you on behalf of all of the readers I know, and for myself as a reader, thank you for creating that community for us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. Enjoy the festival. Thanks, everybody.